Okay, well, it's great to be with you this morning. Thank you for inviting us to come once again. And Barbara and I are very thankful to you. And we just take a moment before I get into the word to thank you for all you've done for us and over the years, the support and hospitality and so on. We appreciate that. And we want to thank you for it. And we want to let you know that we have moved to North Carolina. I think we mentioned last time that we're in the process of looking at what the Lord would have us to do. And so we've moved to Pittsboro Christian Village in North Carolina, which, of course, is a retirement community for among the brethren. And we decided we'd go there. They called us and said there's a home available. And it was just the right time when our children were moving to, or our son and a daughter-in-law and kids were moving to Texas. They're coming back to New Braunfels, by the way. And so we'll get to see them a little later in the week. But in the meantime, we've decided to move. And so we're there. And that'll make it much easier for us to travel without having to worry about a home and so on. So we're very thankful. But if you want to know more about the ministry, let us know. You know, of course, we travel a great deal. I know several of you have already asked me about the car, and we still have the same car. And it's got about 377,000 miles on it. So it's running very nicely. We're very thankful. And we just pray, you continue to pray with us that it'll continue on as he wills. Now, with that being said, now, what time do I need to be done, brother? I forgot again. You know, it's old age now. Is it 10 after? Thank you, brother. I'm all right. 10 after 11, so that's about 12 hours and, let's see, 20, about 12 hours and 40 minutes. Praise the Lord. Okay. Which is great. I'm glad you want to be in the Word of God together. But we want to look together now. I was, one brother asked me, are you done with the book of Ruth, brother? I said, yes, I am done with the book of Ruth. I did an overview last time. And so this time I thought we'd look at the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua together. Now, last June I was here and with the couples meeting. I met with the couples at the assembly here. We had a couples meeting and I covered a little theme with them. I don't know if they remember it. But I'm not going to cover it again today. I thought I'd do something a little bit different today. But we covered the theme of how, in Joshua, the importance of being together, that we're in our you know, inheritance, we're in the warfare and all that involved there together. And we looked at that theme. And that comes out, I'll point it out a few times here too as we go through. But I thought we'd just do a little overview of the book of Joshua. I know I'm not here maybe just a couple of times a year at most. And so we can't do a detailed review, but an overview might be helpful. And some of the great practical lessons we have for ourselves. So let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and read together, because the word's important. So let's read that first. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I have said unto Moses. Now, we'll stop there, and of course, it gives you the boundaries of the land. And we could spend a whole hour looking at the boundaries of the land and what that shows us, but we won't take the time today. But we want to just note those first three verses, a couple of key things, that we're looking at a book that's historical in nature, aren't we? It's real. It's genuine. It's a history of what happened. And even that just that previous song we had up, right? The issue of the Jericho walls and the journey and all that Brother Charles and the group up here sang. Very important to see that it's a real thing. I know what happens. We, as children, learn about, I didn't learn about so much myself, but I know as a child, when you go to Sunday school, whatever, you learn about some things from Joshua, but usually you learn about the things that are sort of the miracles, the exciting things, like the walls falling down, right? And we have hymns that are songs that talk about the walls falling down and so on. But then there's other aspects of the book you don't learn much about until you get to study it more carefully. And so we're going to try and bring out some of those things as well. What does it teach us as we look at some of the key things going on in the book? And so as we look at this, we see then Moses has died, and now Joshua is going to take them into the land. Now, we could go into a lot of detail and discuss metaphorically or perhaps symbolically what that might mean. Some suggest, of course, that Moses, representing the law, couldn't go in, but we know Moses doesn't go in because, of course, he had sinned, and there's challenges there, you know, that whole issue where he struck the rock and so on. And no doubt there are some typical things there for us to look at some point. But here, we just want to note that Moses is now done. God has used him mightily, and now he's done it. Now Joshua, Jehovah is salvation, which means will now bring them into their inheritance. We recognize, of course, the same is true for us, that our Joshua, Jehovah is salvation, the Lord Jesus, has brought us, we might say, in some sense, into our inheritance. Do we have full possession or full enjoyment of it yet? Well, perhaps not. But the victory has been won, and we know we have an inheritance, don't we? A spiritual inheritance in the heavenlies, as Ephesians talks about. So as we begin to look at the book of Joshua, we need to keep in mind that there's the physical things happening here in Joshua are pictures in some sense of spiritual things for us today. And so we have Moses dead, and now Joshua is going to help bring the people into the land. Then, it, of course, it goes on to say, go over this Jordan in verse 2. That's going to take a little bit of work. That's easier said than done, isn't it? That is, now Jordan's in flood stage. What do you go over it? Oh, okay. How are we going to do that? Well, that's one of the things we're going to learn. In the first half of the book, there are three sections, and there are three objectives and three, well, we might say difficulties. I wonder, do you ever have difficulties on the journey? Challenges? Maybe most of you don't. I don't see any head shaking. Yes, maybe you're all just fine, right? But there are at times difficulties on the journey, things that seem to be almost impossible. How, what are we going to do? Well, we'll talk more about those, but God can work in. And so we see Moses is gone. Josh is going to bring them over the Jordan, the first obstacle in the way, and bring them into the land, the issue of the inheritance. Now, when we did the book of Ruth, which is good. Now, if you missed it, I'm sorry. Maybe they haven't recorded. I can't recall if they recorded them or not. But I did go over the book of Ruth, and I talked all about the inheritance. We did the overview, right? How important the inheritance was to the children of Israel, and how important our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance, should be in Jesus Christ. So we looked at that, and so I won't go into a lot of detail on the inheritance. I'll just say that it is extremely important for us today as well. And then we say that inheritance is mentioned in verse 3 and 4, and the details of it as far as the boundaries and so on. But every place your foot shall trod or tread. And so the idea being, of course, wherever God led them and had their feet go, well, then that would be the place. It would be theirs. Again, that might be very difficult to see. I mean, that's one of the obstacles. Again, there's other people there already. How are you going to get it? Well, again, we have to look at those things. So we have then a historical book, which is the idea of getting the people from the wilderness journey into their inheritance. And we are doing the same today. We have a journey. We're on a journey still. And so even Israel, though they're going into the land, will in a sense still be on a journey. I think if we think about it, we'd like to be able to say, oh, okay, well, you know, Lord, just give me an inheritance and we're all done. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? They just give me the inheritance. I don't have to worry about anything. Well, you see, that's what they wanted, really. You think about the whole situation where, you know, if I had a map up here, they came out of Egypt and came down through the wilderness up over into over the Jordan. And think about what happened. Well, I think what they wanted was, well, I want to be out of bondage, but then leave me alone to do what I want. I wonder if you've ever been that way before. There are some Christians like that, aren't they? They want to get saved. They want to be a bondage to sin, but then they don't want God to be alongside to help them along the way and say, by the way, you shouldn't be doing that, right? Just give me the inheritance, you know, get me out of bondage, give me all the goodies, and I'll be all set. Well, that's not how it works, because the gospel, of course, includes not only coming out of bondage, but that God is with you and will get you an inheritance and so on. But there's that little piece in between getting you through, right? He's going to be with you, and he wants to make sure you're on the right path, the journey. And so that's what they had done. And you know what happened, of course, didn't go so well in the wilderness, did it? The journey didn't go so well. And they had their struggles. And as you know, when it came time to come into land, well, now they weren't so interested. They were interested more in Egypt than they were in the land. And I wonder, of course, we know each the picture of the world. I wonder how many of us at times get so interested in the world and not so interested in things of the Lord. It happens sometimes. The things of Christ, the devotion to them, and so on, especially as young people, may I encourage you to be about the things of the Lord. I love seeing the car wash up there. I'm sorry I'm going to miss it because I bring my car. I'm not allowed to do that. Sorry. That's right. I'm considered part of the community here, right? So I can't do that. But you see, I bring the car and get it washed. But that's a great opportunity, isn't it, to share with others and encourage others to come and have them hear the gospel and perhaps be invited to VBS. And I'm so glad I was on the train tracks this morning when I came down. It was very nice. Got to my seat. These are great things you're doing. May God bless them. But may you be a part as well, each one of you. Because you see, as we mentioned, I mentioned the young people or the young couples, if you want to call it that, last year. And it comes out here in, verse 2, I believe it is. Moses, thy servant, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and how many of the people? All the people. Yes. And so if you were at the young couples meeting, or the, or may I say, I guess they call it the couples meeting now, perhaps. So, because I was older, so they let me come. So, my wife. You see, the issue of all people. It so often happens that you have a few that are, very devoted, and the rule in business, right? Sometimes it's brought out among volunteer organizations and so on, that 80% of the work is done by 20% of people. Sort of sad if that's true in your church, isn't it? That would be sad. That in reality, shouldn't 100% of us be involved in some way, young and old? Doesn't matter. If you've been saved and been baptized and whatever, but then you're part of the community, aren't you? Then you have a role to play. Some God's gifted you in some way. Doesn't matter if you're 90 or 100 or whatever, or 10 or 12 years old or whatever it might be. We all have a role, all the people. And so if you take a look at that, I won't do it tonight, but we did look at last year with the couples, that if you take a look at all the people and what happens when only part of them get involved, they struggle. But when they're all involved, what a blessing. So that's a great practical lesson that you can take out of here today, even though I'm going to go into details with it. But that was a whole message by itself. So there we are. So now the next goal is to get across Jordan. So in the first 12 chapters of this book, we're going to see then three sections that I mentioned with three situations that occur, three objectives. One, of course, to get across Jordan. We just read it. Number two is they're going to have to get the law established, right? Basically, the people that were in that land were very evil, had adultery and all kinds of wicked things and the like. And so God says, you need to get rid of them because, you see, I don't want you following what they did. They had their opportunities, and for the most part, they rejected me. Now, there were some that got saved. Rahab, of course, gets saved. Some of the Gibeonites get saved and so on, and at least physically. And the great lessons to us. But for the most part, the people had no interest in the things of God, no interest in life according to Jehovah. Well, so we have the Jordan River as one objective. We have establishing the law in the land as the second objective. And then we have the third objective of now basically wiping out all those people in general, we might say, taking full possession of the land in a general way. Those are the three objectives in chapters 1 through 12. And so through chapter 1 through chapter 5, verse 9 will be the first section. And then 5, 10 through the end of chapter 8, the second section. And chapter 9 through 12, the third section. Now, as we look at that, we'll see again three objectives. We have objectives, don't we? Things we want to do, things we want to get accomplished. But the problem here, there's generally obstacles to getting things done that you want to get done. For whatever reason, there are obstacles. And in this case, the Jordan River is an obstacle. They need to get in the land, but you see there are rivers in the way. And it's in flood stage, it says elsewhere. Right? It's overflowing its banks at this time of year. And how in the world would you get perhaps a million or million and a half or 2 million people across a flooded river like that, huge. And you think then, you look at that, and no doubt the people in the land are thinking they'll never get across that river. But there is one who remembered the way back 40 years ago, the Red Sea. Remember, Rahab says, she says, you know what? Maybe she heard, or maybe she was there still. I don't know. But she heard about the Red Sea. That's how one of the reasons she came to know Jehovah. She saw the evidence. And when the spies came, she knows that river, wherever that river's not going to stop them. So we have the river in the way. For the second one, we have another obstacle. If we want to establish a law, well, you see, the law was going to be established. They're going to go across in the land. And then we have Jericho and Ai and Bethel and other cities there. They're in the way. Because Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, where the law is going to be established, the altar built and so on, is further over beyond them. But obviously, they can't just go over there and take it. You got all these cities in the way. What are they going to do? There's an obstacle in the way. And then thirdly, after they get the law established, now they have to take possession of the land. Well, you think maybe you can take Jericho and Ai, maybe get rid of those. But then how about all these kings and kingdoms that are all the Canaanites? What are you going to do to all that? How are you going to get that third objective of taking possession of the land? This seems like impossible. But when things seem impossible to us, God is able, isn't he? When things seem impossible to us, God is able. And so we'll see in each of these three sections, as you look at it, that God performs a miracle. He, of course, has the water pile up at a dam north of the Jordan. And so there's no water coming down. And it can go across, not on muddy ground, but on dry ground. How can that happen? God is able, isn't he? And then later on, of course, you know, the walls of Jericho fall, and you know what they do with Ai and so on. There are some things they don't do so well there, but we'll talk more about that at another time. But it happens, doesn't it? And God works a miracle, and they're able to get across and establish God's law in the land. That's what's going to function, how they're going to function in the land is by God's word. And then thirdly, well, we know the problem is the confederacies on the north and the south are going to stop them or try. But you see, the sun stood still, didn't it? And the moon, God performed a third miracle. And they were able to accomplish their objective and take possession. And so though in each case, there's a difficulty, and there's an objective, but there's a difficulty, something stopping them, an obstacle, you might call it, God works a miracle. But in each of those miracles, and so we've mentioned that, you can go down a little further, and I won't. I'll just show you the first one. So we saw the Jordan there already. Then, of course, as they get go across the Jordan, what happens? Well, we go down a little further on this chapter one, and of course, be strong of good courage is well known portion. It's mentioned several times in Joshua, and he comes in the 2.5 tribes. Of course, he talks to at the end of chapter one. And the 2.5 on the east side already got their inheritance. Can you imagine what it'd be like? You know how it works sometimes, right? They could have said, well, yeah, we got our inheritance. See you later. No, that's not going to happen, because they're in it together, aren't they? But it would be easy to do. It'd be easy for us to say, well, we got our inheritance. You know what? You're on your own. That's not what God has for us, is it? That we all have the inheritance, that we all have access to the inheritance, but we want it more fully. If someday we'll have full possession and enjoyment of it all. But we need to help one another along the way, don't we, to get in and enjoy the inheritance in a full way. So we see then he makes sure the 2.5 tribes are going to go across to them. Then in the course in chapter 2, we have the issue of Rahab, don't we? So in each of the sections that we're going to look at over time, we're going to find out that someone gets saved in each section, right? There's, in a sense, Rahab gets saved here, but she truly gets saved, of course, or she gets delivered, we might say, a little bit later on when they actually go into Jericho. But someone gets saved this day anyway, whether it's Rahab or Israel. Doesn't Israel get saved that day from the Jordan River, the picture of death in Scripture, right? And they go across the Jordan, and that's where they should have died. Remember the stones, and they would be able to tell their children, see those 12 stones in the river? That's where we should be, dead, if we had tried to do it on our own. But God worked a miracle, and so we got saved that day. and we came across on dry ground. So in each section, we'll see someone gets delivered, gets saved, we might say, from what would seem certain death. And Israel did that day. But we see Rahab get started there as well, and she knew about Egypt and all that was going on. I already mentioned that. And so she makes a deal with the spies, as you know, in chapter 2. But then we go up to chapter 3, and now Israel's about ready to go across the Jordan. But you realize they had, from chapter 1 to chapter 3, there's also preparatory work. In each of these three sections, it wasn't done, we might use a term in our idiom, willy-nilly. Have you ever heard of that idiom? That you just don't sort of just do it any way you want. That you had to prepare. You see, God was going to work. God was going to be with them. God was going to act the miracles. And yet they had to be ready, didn't they? You see, we still have to do what God has to do, don't we? And still true today, that God can have us do what we need to do, prepare, do what we are able, and then recognize, though, he is going to help us to get where we need to be. And so they end up doing it, right? They prepare, and they get their victuals together, and they get all set, and they go across Jordan. And then in chapters 3 and 4, the marvelous story retold, it seems, three times of how they crossed the Jordan. It seems like, why repeat it three times? Or basically three aspects of it three times about going across the Jordan and telling their children and so on. And that comes out several times about the stones. Well, it's important to remember, isn't it? It is important to remember what God has done and bring them across the Jordan. So three times it'll be touched on that they got across the Jordan. Three ways it brings it out. And they have the stones to remember and so on. But isn't it great what God has done for us? And don't we remember him? And this morning, didn't we remember him? Remember what God has done for us through his son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, the marvels of it all. It's wonderful. And I think you may remember, I spoke about this 8 years ago. Does anyone remember 8 years ago? Oh, and I'm not sure. I spoke about the city Gilgal. Do you remember that? 8 years, I think it was, maybe it was 7 years. But I'm sure you'd all remember anyway, wouldn't you? I know we don't remember very well. I'm with you on that. And so repetition never hurts, does it? It's good for us. That's why, you notice how, now some of you are a little older than I am. Some of you may be 80 or 90 or more. And yet, you know what? I can talk with some of you, and you're still learning every day, aren't you? You can never exhaust the word of God. It's marvelous. And so here we are. We have them three times repeating sort of what had happened, that they would not forget what God was doing. So that when they move forward on their journey to the other obstacles, their mind should say, you know what? If God did it there, then he will help us there if we're doing what he wants us to do. He will. Very important to see. Once they start relying upon self and, you know, how we plan it, how we do it, and that allow God to do the help on that front end of planning, make sure God's involved, we'll see that causes problems. And you'll see that in the second objective. They have struggles, difficulties. Some of them die. All because they try to do it in the flesh, try to do it their own way. Oh, they may have meant well, no doubt. And they saw what God had done. But you see, they had to really come back and think about, pray about, you know, as they took each step, that they might involve God in every step of the way. Are we involving God in every step of the way? We travel and journey in this world. I don't know about you, but you know, it does seem to me that the world seems to be waxing worse and worse. Do you think that's happening? Maybe in our own country as well, it seems. And so we have to be well aware that God will help us through the difficult times that certainly will confront us in the years to come. And especially for the young people, once again, to be thinking about how am I going to know what God has for me? How am I going to be able to go through this world and in our own country, some of the challenges that lie before us and the changes going on? He will help us, of course. But we have to be in his word and be studying it and thinking about how he would have us to maneuver in this world, the journey in this world. So we then see that was very important. We see that they had the situation with the Jordan River. They got across and people got saved and so on. But they also had to learn that, there's this opportunity that, you know, salvation comes before judgment. We'll see that in each section. I already mentioned salvation in each section, but see, judgment comes out in each section as well. Because, you know, the Jordan River is a picture of death, and it comes in. Well, if anyone stayed in the river, guess what? Swept away, right? They did that. And so you see, judgment did come in the form of the river. But they were all saved, of course, Israel was. And the same, of course, with Jericho and so on. And judgment came, didn't it? And for the various confederacies in chapters 9 through 12, well, so you see, judgment came, didn't it, eventually. But praise God, salvation came first. Aren't you thankful that salvation came first before judgment? And that's what God still makes available today, doesn't he? For each one of us here. Maybe there's some here not Christ, perhaps listening to the message online or whatever, YouTube, right? Whatever you folks use. And it's great to know that he's still saving soul before judgment comes. But I can assure you, judgment's coming. And if judgment is coming, then and you don't know Christ today. Well, today might be the day, because you don't know when the judgment might come, when your life might end or whatever it might be. Today is the day. Let it be the day for those who know not Christ today, whether young or old, that they might know Christ before they leave this place today. Ask any of us who have known Christ, and we can share with you the verses and so on, help you see what the Word of God says, not what necessarily we say, but what the Word of God said. So we have then in chapter 3 and 4, basically a rehearsal or review three times of their going across the Jordan. And it gives, again, the lesson to them that God is able to do it with them. So then as we then sort of review now where we've been, we've looked at this first section briefly, so chapters 1 through 4. Going into chapter 5, they're in Gilgal, of course. And you'll see that they get circumcised. That's another important lesson in each of the three sections. Then each of the sections, salvation comes before judgment, but then self-judgment comes. That is, there is the cutting off of the old, taking away the old, the flesh, and so on. And so that does come out as well. And we see that in the circumcision that occurs in Gilgal for the children of Israel. And perhaps we can touch on that next time. Our time is brief. So we then see then three sections in the first half of the book, establishing, of course, the camp, getting across the Jordan and so on. That's going to be the key thing, getting across Jordan and establishing Gilgal camp, a place that they can go to, go back and forth to warfare and so on, but always be able to come back, sort of like the song we sang at the end there, the idea of coming back to the Father's house, you might say, right, spiritually speaking today, having a place to come and be together and so on. Then we establish the law, and we'll see that more about that next time. But we'll establish the law and get that set up, because that's going to be the basis for how they live. But isn't that true for us today? That's the basis of how we live, is his, what he has to say in his word. And then, of course, thirdly, get the possession of the inheritance in 9 through 12. We'll get to that some other time, establishing the inheritance. But what a great truth. It points to the fact that we have an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance. And the question is, are we interested? Are we devoted to it? Do we desire it? That's going to come out in the second half of the book of Joshua. That everybody seems to be gung-ho about getting the, you know, let's make that initial victory and get it all set to go. And then, well, they seem to get lackadaisical, it seems. They seem to lose interest, perhaps. We'll see it in the second half of the book. And it takes a long time before they find, you know, in fact, Joshua says later on, maybe it's chapter 18, he says later on, how long will you be slack and not taking your inheritance? You see, they already had it in a sense, but each individual tribe had to go and get take care of it. And they hadn't been doing it. They got busy. They got sort of, you know what, I'm sort of taking it easy. You know, I enjoy Shiloh, or I enjoy Gilgal or whatever. I'm enjoying where I'm at. Really, I don't feel like doing any more warfare. I want to sort of sit back. I'm getting old. But Joshua getting pretty old too, wasn't he? And Caleb. And they were still fighting, weren't they? Moving forward. But a lot of the people had sat back a bit. Oh, maybe we not be those who just sit back. that we would really desire our spiritual inheritance, seek after it, and be about his work and be devoted. And again, especially for the young people today, often I know we do a Zoom Bible study each week in Tennessee. And we you know, one of those things that comes out in our prayer list almost every week is praying for children, grandchildren, others, relatives that have professed Christ, but their lives don't show. I wonder if you have anybody like that in your family. It's a challenge, isn't it? And so that they might read the word of God, that they might seek after those things, to be devoted to him. That's one of the goals and one of our prayers. But if they do know Christ, oh, that they might desire him more and desire his word, be praying, and so on. And we know many in that situation. So we have then the establishing of Shiloh in the second half of the, as you start the second half of that book of Joshua. They have the established Shiloh, but they now need to grasp a hold of their own piece of land. So the tribe does. That is, there's the corporate aspect, the nation as a whole in the first 12 chapters, but now it's the individual tribes in the second half. And the cities of refuge and the Levites and all the details of the issue of how will they now, that the big warfare has been done, how will they now go and do the mop-up operations, right? How excited would they be about getting now individually involved in their part of the land and setting up those cities of refuge and the details there and getting the nation in such a place that now they are in full enjoyment of inheritance. We'll have that someday. The victory's been won in Christ Jesus, of course, but we'll have full enjoyment someday of the inheritance. Peter talks about having an abundant inheritance, right? Entering in fully in the inheritance, that kind of thing. It seems to be touched on by Peter. And so, again, those who then traveled, remember, they're 20 years older, longer, older, and they eventually end up, 20 years of age or younger, they're the ones who end up, of course, in the land after the wilderness journey. The ones that were older, of course, murmured, and only Caleb and Joshua of that group got in. Others, of course, died for other reasons, like Moses and Aaron and so on. So that's very important to see. So all that is a historical record, and we learn great lessons. Joshua probably wrote them, as far as we may know, although it also mentions how he, about his death, so someone else may have added that, perhaps one of the elders added that on the end. So we have these three sections, but we have some great practical lessons that we can leave this place today with, as we've just touched on, looking at Joshua. Now, number one, of course, we mentioned that chapter one, that we read verse one, and also verse two, that we're in this together. Just keep that in mind. As you look at the book of Joshua, and as we look at our journey today and our inheritance, we need to keep in mind that we're doing it together. That if we all are believers, we're all saved, then all those who are saved here are doing it together. And of course, there are many believers beyond just who are gathered here. And then we learn, of course, not to fear God, not to fear the enemy, but reverence God, we might say, but not to fear the enemy. The enemy, you'll see in each of those sections, very fearful. It comes out in each section. And Israel's not fearful unless they're not following God. And as soon as they make a mistake and they're not following what God has said or not being careful to evaluate things based on what God has said, then it says they became fearful. They fear. Right? You see, we don't need to fear God in that sense, that we'd be afraid of him. We reverence him. We're devoted to him, so on. But we recognize we need to fear him, reverence him rather than fear the enemy. The enemy is, of course, strong and going about as we know today. But fear God and not fear the enemy. We thirdly can overcome obstacles, can't we? Great obstacles can be overcome like the Jordan, can be overcome in the power of God. And we are all going to encounter obstacles in the world. Things are going to happen, things that we didn't expect, difficulties, challenges, good things, of course, too. There's great joy sometimes in the travels of the world as well as we journey. But God is able to help us through those difficult times. We can overcome obstacles, not in our own strength, but in God's strength. Preparation is essential, we mentioned, as we looked at with the, telling Joshua, be courageous and He ordered the people to get their food together and so on, get ready to cross Jordan and so on. Very important. Preparation is key. We already mentioned salvation before judgment. Praise God, salvation comes first. And our Lord came to save the first time, didn't he? The second time he comes in judgment. So again, it's all through the scriptures, of course. And then, of course, establishing his law and going, always going back to what God has said. And in fact, you, at the end of each section, by the way, in relation to that, establishing, setting up what God said, is it says that Joshua did what Jehovah had said to Moses. Moses couldn't do it, but Joshua did, right? Always being obedient to God's word. Now, again, had some problems, but the eventual outcome of each situation, each of these sections, is that they followed God had said to do. And then, of course, eventually, the objective, the full objective of the inheritance is achieved, is that we have rest. I wonder how many of you are looking forward to the rest. Hebrews 3 and 4 brings that out, right? The importance of the rest we have in God. Well, I leave it with you to think on those things. This is, again, scratching the surface, just a little bit of an overview of how beautifully the book is put together. And then in the future, we can look at some of those other sections and see not only the lessons repeated, but see some new lessons as well that will encourage our hearts as we go on our journey together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time we've had to be together now. Bless this thy word to us. This book of Joshua is just so chock full of things that we can learn from, the practical lessons, Father, for Israel, physical, for us, spiritual. Oh, might we rely upon thee. May we look to you to help during our journey in this world. Help us be devoted to and have a desire for thy work and thy inheritance. Oh, may we be about thy business. Help us, Father. It's easier said than done. The enemy's prowling about out there. Help us to be strong. We thank you again for the great lessons here. And may we be those who fear you and rather than fear the enemy and recognize that as we prepare, we can do it with your help and your strength and have or accomplish what you'd have us to do. We give you thanks now in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.